Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 11th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us each day. We're grateful for all that you've shown us and for how you have allowed us to see in advance those things that are taking place around us. We ask that you would continue to bless us and provide for us the wisdom that we need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today we are doing things a little differently because the subject in our daily briefing today is Christian Reconstructionism. It is the exact same subject that we chose for today in our morning manna. So do not think that you are making a mistake here. You are in the daily briefing. But we thought that we would use the same article on both of these projects today because we want to bring you up to date as to where we're standing. Now, one of the reasons why we are doing this is because of what has happened in the Capitol on the 6th and the assault that was made there, the coup, the attempted coup that was moved against the Capitol and the attempt on the lives of some of those people who work there. Now, we want you to understand that this is not just a political move. This is driven by a view of the world that is based on something called Christian Reconstructionism. And these people believe that they're going to turn this world into a Christian nation. It's turn the United States of America into a Christian nation. And by virtue of that, the entire world, because they believe that they've been given dominion. And one of the reasons why they have been supporting this administration in the way that they have been doing so is because the administration has been supporting their agenda and following through on the things that they wanted to have done. And so we are now taking a look at what Reconstructionism is. That's the terminology used to describe these people. And in the next few sessions going forward, we are going to make sure that you have a clear understanding of what dominionism is and what Reconstructionism is. Now, dominionism is the fact that these people believe that God has given them dominion. They have been quoting from Genesis chapter 1, where God told Adam and Eve that he has given them dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and all of the creeping things. But they have extended that to include dominion over every living thing, meaning all of the human beings living on this earth. And they believe that God has given them dominion so that he will cause them to cause the rest of the world to be Christian so that he might return. And he's not going to return until they have completed the job that God has given them to do. That is their belief system. Now, in our morning manna for today, we read from Psalm 8. And I'd like to read that over again for you. We're going to take a look at Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. And here's what Psalm 8, beginning at verse 1, says. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And now comes the verses that I want you to focus on. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Now notice that those texts do not include other human beings being placed under the authority of Adam and Eve. Verse 9 says, O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. All right, so notice now that that's the original text in Psalm 8, and you go back and you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that it is exactly the same. God has not given man authority over man, but over the sheep and oxen and beasts of the field and fowl of the air and fish of the sea, etc., etc. Well, the Reconstructionists or the Dominionists believe that they have been given authority over everyone on this earth, and they are going to force the rest of the world, to be Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with being Christian. The problem is the word force. Because when Christ came to this earth, he came that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever suggests you have a choice, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, means that you have a choice. You have an opportunity to choose. And also, you have an opportunity not to choose. All right. Continuing to take a look at the Christian Reconstructionism as we have been looking at it in our morning manner today. And this, of course, is the same article found in the Political Research Associates, published on March the 1st, 1994. Here's what it says. It calls it a movement of ideas. Continuing, it says, as a movement primarily of ideas, Reconstructionism has no single denominational or institutional home, nor is it totally defined by a single charismatic leader, nor even a single text. Rather, it is defined by a small group of scholars who are identified as Reformed or Orthodox Presbyterianism. The movement networks primarily through magazines, conferences, publishing houses, think tanks, and bookstores. As a matter of strategy, it is a self-consciously decentralized and publicity-shy movement. Reconstructionist leaders seem to have two consistent characteristics: a background in conservative Presbyterianism and connections to the John Birch Society. In 1973, R.J. Rushdoony compared the structure of the JBS, that would be the John Birch Society, to the early church. He wrote in Institutes, The key to the John Birch Society's effectiveness has been a plan of operation which has a strong resemblance to the early church and have meetings between lay leaders, area supervisors, and bishops. The John Birch Society connection does not stop there. Most leading Reconstructionists have either been John Birch Society members or have close ties to the organization. Reconstructionist literature can be found in any affiliated American opinion bookstores owned by the John Birch Society. Indeed, the conspiracist views of Reconstructionist writers that would be focusing on the United Nations and the Council on Foreign Relations are consistent with those of the John Birch Society. A classic statement of their worldview, Call It Conspiracy by Larry Abraham, features a prologue in which the Reconstructionist Gary North finds his strength. Now, Reconstructionism's decentralist ideas have led to the creation of a network of churches across a number of denominations, all building for the kingdom. One Reconstructionist pastor writes that the leadership of the movement is passing to hundreds of small local churches that are starting to grow, both numerically and theologically. Their people are being trained in the Reconstruction Army, and at least in Presbyterian circles. We are baptizing and catechizing a whole generation of Gary Norths, Rush Doonies, and David Chintons. So notice that this group is growing, and their influence is being spread across the entire world and entire nation. And you have got to understand what they have in mind. As we've said in this morning manner's description, they believe that if you are not obeying the will of God, if you're not complying with what God says and in the way that God wants you to follow, then you will be punished. You must be imprisoned, or you might be put to death, or at the very least, if you're in this nation, if you're in this country, and you're not complying with their belief systems, then you will lose your citizenship. And this is an important issue. And this is one of the things that you've got to understand, one of the reasons why these people are moving in the direction that they are moving in. One of the reasons why they have been supporting so completely this particular administration that is still in power and won't walk away until the 20th of January of this year. You and I need to understand that they have had this agenda for a while, but they have been moving in a particular direction They have been changing things around. They have been establishing a new justice system, putting judges in place, the kind of judges that see the world from the point of view that they see it. They have been moving in the direction where they have putting in office cabinet members and officers who agree with their point of view. And ultimately, what will happen is that they will soon get to the place where they begin to enforce their view of Christianity. Now, they've also redefined the whole concept of religious liberty. There was a time when religious liberty meant that you had the right to believe or not believe, depending on what your convictions are. Their definition of religious liberty means that they have the liberty to do what they want done in the way that they want done, what that they want it done. And if you object to it, then you are removing from them their religious liberty. In other words, you're persecuting them. You're frustrating their Christianity and not allowing them to be the kind of people that they need to be. This is a serious matter. And I want you to understand, my dear brother, my dear sister, this morning, that we have come to that place where, as we have said so often in the past, Revelation chapter 13 describes the United States of America as speaking as a dragon. This is not only an external operation that is taking place, but rather an internal operation. Let me just read a few other paragraphs for you from this same article that we've been reading, Christian Reconstructionism. It says this: the leaders of Reconstructionism see themselves as playing a critical role in the history of the church and of the world. They envisage themselves salvaging Christianity from modern fundamentalism as well as theological liberalism. Because they are both conservative movement activists and conservative Christians seeking to pick up where the Puritans left off, they have constructed a theology that would provide the ideology, direction, and underpinning of a new kind of conservatism. It is, as well, a formidable theological design to take on all comers. In order to wage a battle for God's dominion over all aspects of society, they needed a comprehensive analysis, a game plan, and a justification. This is what Reconstructionism provides to a wide range of evangelical and other would-be conservative Christians. New right activists, Howard Phillips, believes that Reconstructionism, as expressed by Rush Dooney and North, has provided evangelical Christian leaders with the intelligent self-confidence to become politically active, whereas many previously were not. Many conservatives apparently felt that they had no positive program and had been left in the role of reactionaries, just saying no to modernism and liberalism. Reconstructionism offers a platform that encompasses the religious and the political. So now notice the interesting way that church and state has been brought together by this Reconstructionist belief system. They believe that once they are put in place, they will be able to enforce. And I want you to understand that word is so important to them. They will be able to enforce Christianity. Doesn't matter about the level of conviction. As long as you comply, as long as you obey. And this takes us back to the inquisitional time in history. It takes us back to the time when, as we have read on some of our broadcasts before, how Adventists were persecuted back in the early time of the 13 colonies, even though our constitution had already been put in place in 1787 and the 10 amendments had been put in place in 1791. All of that had been in place, and yet many of our church members were persecuted for doing work, and it wasn't even labor work, but work on Sunday. They were fined. Some of them were imprisoned. Some of them were placed in chain gangs. Now, you got to understand that all of that was happening back then, when the Constitution was already in place. And you've got to understand that the direction in which these men are now heading is back to a place just like that, even though the Constitution and the 10 amendments are presently in place. Here's one other article, one other paragraph in the article. It says this: many Christian right thinkers and activists have been profoundly influenced by Reconstructionism. Among others, the late Francis Schaeffer, whose book, A Christian Manifesto, was an influential call to evangelical political action that sold 2 million copies, and John Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute, a Christian right legal action group. Francis Schaeffer is widely credited with providing the impetus for political and Protestant evangelical political action against abortion. For example, Randall Terry, the founder of Operation Rescue, says, "You have to read Schaeffer's Christian Manifesto if you want to understand Operation Rescue." Schaeffer, a longtime leader in Reverend Carl McIntyre's splinter denomination, the Bible Presbyterian Church, was a reader of Reconstructionist literature and has been reluctant to acknowledge its influence. Indeed, Schaeffer and his followers specifically rejected the modern application of Old Testament law. So now you notice where these people are coming from. And they are serious about what they're doing. And they are moving in a particular direction here. And the whole discussion that we've had in the last few days with regard to the fraudulence of the election and that whole point that has been made by the president about the fact that election was stolen has an underlying religious element to it, because they believe that if they had been allowed to stay with this man and his administration be allowed to continue, they would be able to continue the agenda that they had, moving in a particular direction and accomplishing some of the things that they wanted so desperately to accomplish way back when Ronald Reagan was president, where George W. Bush was president. But they have only been able to start that plan now and move in the direction in which they wanted to move. However, this particular president has taken an aggressive kind of confrontational approach, which they cannot really allow themselves to be seen as embracing. And so you'll find that some of those who really were his great supporters are beginning to move away from him now, because it is pretty obvious that some of his confrontationalism is not what they want to see happen. But their agenda is the same. And you and I need to understand that we are moving in a particular direction here. That particular plan to move the United States of America into a Christian nation will not be abandoned. As a matter of fact, when you look at the president that you will have ultimately in the future, and the agenda that he will have, it will be kinder. It will move in a direction where people will understand that there is a gentleness about the approach. But the direction will be the same. The agenda will be the same. And you and I will need to understand that ultimately there will be only one group of people against whom the dragon will come. Revelation chapter 12 is very clear when it makes the point that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And that remnant is described in that same verse: those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The direction is clear. The object is clear. The history and its fulfillment is going to be clear. God has told us in advance of exactly all of what is going to take place. And you and I need to understand that God's word is sure and cannot be changed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us day by day of all that is happening around us. We thank you that we see the introduction of the movement that you have told us will take place. We're asking you, Lord, today that you would give us the strength that is necessary, that our hearts might be rooted and grounded in truth, that we will not be afraid, but that we will walk according to your will, that we will allow ourselves to be led consistently by you, and that everything about us will be governed by you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, January the 11th, 2021.